title of this class, the title, look, I'm giving you a title of this class. I'll show you have in this syllabus. It's Change Your Mind. Change Your Mind. I'm going to try to get you to change your mind. That's the whole purpose of this class. Just took a look at Dr. Miller's annual report. And just came to me. In fact, read it this morning. And I said, well, I'll be. It's just what I'm talking about in class. Talk about students. That's y'all. And it has all, you know, all these little charts and how many of you, you know, and all this stuff. And how many were here last year and 18 years ago and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But there's a song that says, and probably there's just some things that numbers can't measure. And so I wrote this little doohickey on the side of the chart. I didn't mean to tell you I wrote that. I was going to say whoever wrote that boy really got it, but I just blew it. Anyway, the illustrations on this page accurately reflect numbers, but cannot show the, quote, spiritual atmosphere, unquote, of the campus. CIU students have a passion for God. I'm trying to tell everybody else about you. CIU students have a passion for God and are intense about serving Him. You are the most intense people in the world. Let me tell you something. People are intense. You get near you. They come here to change, not remain the same. That's what is a refrain I hope you've gotten now. That you've come here to change, not remain the same. They are challenged to become more like Christ by the renewing of their minds through the truth of God's Word. And the spiritual atmosphere at CIU is dynamic. Now, trying to explain to folks outside of CIU what CIU is like is difficult, but we gave it a shot. This course has a twofold purpose. Yes, to orient you to CIU, but not to orient you to CIU in such a way as like this is the library and this is the cafeteria and that's the men's room and that's the woman's room. And never the twain shall meet. That is not what we're trying to orient you to. It's orienting you to CIU in terms of the spirituality. What is the victorious Christian life message? What are you to look for in all of your courses? What you got here, if you just take the principles of what you're learning here about the victorious Christian life and you apply them to all your classes, you're going to get two or three times as much out of all your courses than you would have. And if you leave, I'm trying to package you. If you left right after this semester, I'm trying to have you be able to walk out with a package where your life can be changed. That's the purpose of this course. Hopefully, it's packaged in such a way that it'll change your life and change others as well. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about changing your life and how to change your life. And we're going to start, surprisingly, I hate this thing, but I'm glad I have it for a little while. We're going to start, surprisingly, with a story. This is not a true story. It's the made-up story. Imagine yourself in a fort, F-O-R-T, fort. I don't know how, I spell a lot of things because I don't know what it sounds like to you. imagine yourself in a fort, let's say a couple hundred years ago, on the western frontier. About 200 years ago. Now, where the western frontier is on the United States, I don't know. You know, you figure it out. Is it Pennsylvania? I don't know. But you're in a fort in a western frontier, and it's an outpost kind of fort. It's not, you know, it's out there. And make it 300 years ago. I don't know. Let's make it way back. And so you're in a fort out there. You're out there. And you're a soldier or a wife of a soldier. I don't know if we have a liberated army there yet, or I don't know what we got, but you're in the fort nevertheless. One night, well, actually, one morning, you all wake up, and a couple of soldiers are dead. And being rocket scientists, that we all are, we figure out it must be Indians because they've got arrows on their chest and, you know, all the little Indian signs, you know, I don't know if they're scalped or not. I don't want to get into all that. If you're an Indian, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just giving an illustration. And you go to the commanding officer of the fort, you and some other soldiers, and say, sir, we've got big news, bad problems. Joe and Pete were killed last night. Indians got in, and you can say Apache, the this. Indians got in last night. We don't know where they got in, but what are we going to do, sir? And sir says, don't worry about it. And you say to sir, what do you mean don't worry about it, sir? And he said, well, you have plenty of soldiers. We have plenty of soldiers. I don't want anybody losing any sleep over there. And he just kind of looked and says, the guy lost his mind, but somehow the buzz goes back. He said, don't worry about it. He must have some secret plan. He's just trying to keep us calm. And so the next morning you wake up and Bob and Dan are dead. And you go back and you go and you go through the same thing and you go to the commanding officer and say, sir, Bob and Dan are dead. And the Indians have come in. What do you want us to do, sir? Where do you want us to find? You want us to try to find where they're getting in, sir? Should we post a guard tonight? What should we do, sir? And the commanding officer says, don't worry about it. We've got plenty of men. I don't want to be losing any sleep over it. Now, what would you think of that commanding officer? There you go. At the very least, the guy's an idiot. And how are you going to go to sleep the next night? How are you going to follow that guy? How are you going to let him be in command anymore? There's a big decision that's going to have to go on in that fort. And then you come in. Can you imagine? I'll just stop that and go on with the story. I have a real funny. I can make this long, but we won't because of time. Nevertheless, you think the guy's a loony, because he is. Who could be more stupid? What could be more stupid than being a commanding officer of a fort? And every night, every morning, every night your people are killed. Every day they come in and report it, and you do nothing. Well, I can tell you what could be more stupid than that. And the answer is you and me. We are far more stupid than that. Because we are the commanding officers. We are in charge of our lives. We are in charge. God has given us the responsibility and the authority to be in charge of our lives. And Satan comes in the same way over and over and over again. I'm telling you, if you talk to me personally, I talk to you personally, and we really share, you're going to find out. I know, because I talk to students all the time, and when you get down to it, Satan has them jumping over hoops all the time. Can you imagine if I was, the basketball player, and I kept doing the same move every time, 1-on-5, and I go like that, and everybody goes that way, I spin around and do a layup the other way. Now, that's fun the first time, but the second time, everybody goes for the same move, how stupid it is. The third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, it's kind of a boring game. But Christians don't even make Satan be creative, because they don't guard their minds. They refuse to post the guard. And Satan just keeps tooting right on down and getting us. Satan's real, he's not that creative. Here are a couple of ways that Satan fools the world and lies to the world. A little difficult here. God says, for example, to the world that we live in, and the time that we live in it, don't have sex outside of marriage. Doesn't God say that? But what does Satan say? Don't let anybody tell you who you can have sex with. God says homosexual practice is an abomination. The world says, Satan says, if it feels good, do it. And try it to see if it feels good. What are you, homophobia? God says, my holy word is inspired and trustworthy. God screams it to the world. That's what Go Conference is all about. Satan says, take what you want and leave the rest. God says, Jesus, my son, Jesus is the Son of God, God himself. And Satan and the world say, at least they're still saying this much, Jesus was a nice guy who paid for being nice. Pretty soon, I'm sure Jesus is going to be psychoanalyzed as a wacko. And if only we had the psychological tools, if we had them then that we do now, we could fix the guy. God says, Satan and the world say. But it's pretty obvious when Satan's doing a number on the world, you say, oh man, can't they get it together? Can't they see how obvious he is? But when Satan does the same thing in the church, we don't see it. For example, God says to the church, because he says to everybody, when he says to the church, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That's what God's word says. That's what God says. You know what the church says? The church says, be cool and give God some due. Don't go too far. You're getting too, I don't mean the true church. I mean the church, And Satan and the world are telling us this. God says, you cannot serve God and money. Well, good night. Don't go to the foyers of the church and what's talked about in between the services and Sunday school because they say you can. God says, don't be ignorant of Satan's ways. Satan says, what ways? God says, be changed. Oh, mercy, that's why you're here. First and foremost, be changed. Satan and the world say, you can't change. Your man might have changed. Ralph might have changed. But you ain't going nowhere. God says, be changed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Satan and the world say, that takes too much work. God says, set your minds on things above. Satan and the world say, but then you're going to be too heavenly minded for any earthly good. You ever hear that one? God says, think on things that are true, that are honorable, that are right, and that are pure. Satan and the world say, nice thought, but don't even give it a try. What are you, crazy? Satan comes in over and over and over and over again the same ways to us, folks. That's what I want to talk about. He seduces us in the same ways. But God has given us a battle plan. And what I mean in particular same ways. Whatever your particular sins are. When I talk to young men or old men about pornography, I can tell them. I say, wait. Don't. First I say, tell me what you're thinking about before. Tell me what you're thinking about before. Or they did a particular lustful thing. And they say, I don't really know. I said, so you just keep falling. You say, duh, here I am. Look where I am. Look what I'm looking at. Oh, how did I get here? And in essence, that's what they do. That's what you do. That's what I do. And I can say, now, were you by any chance feeling lonely, depressed? Were you feeling nobody loved you? Yeah, that's exactly what I was feeling before I did that. Okay. What were you feeling before that? What were you thinking before that? What were you doing before that? How did you get there? And you see, that's why that we went, duh, no, duh. And Satan just sets us up. Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. You should just go eat worms. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I just want to eat worms. And the next thing you know, now you got to guard your mind there. You got to identify Satan's ways. God says, don't be ignorant of Satan's ways. Both generally speaking and specifically speaking, personally speaking. And you say, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. God's given us a battle plan. Do you understand that? God has given us, he hasn't put us out here in the world. He hasn't left us defenseless. He's given us his spirit. He's given us his word. But in his word, he's given us a battle plan. And it's life and death. It's not la-di-da. It's life and death for us. It's whether the gates of hell will get pushed back on whether we listen to God. And here's step one. I mean, there's many steps of battle plan, but today we got a couple steps of battle plan. Oh boy, 17 minutes for battle plan. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You realize what this says? You have trouble with morality, sexual morality. You're having trouble with your body. You're having trouble with all kinds of things with your body. If you want your body under control, this battle plan says, change your mind. You want to escape Satan. You want to escape Satan, this battle plan says, change your mind. If you don't want to be conformed to this world, do you want to be conformed to this world? It's pretty stupid if you're spending money here if you want to be conformed to the world. If you don't want to be conformed to the world, you've got to change your mind. If you want to be transferred, if you want to grow into the image, I'm thinking of Welcome Week Church. If you want to grow into his image and be like Christ, You've got to change your mind. It's not just going to go happen. I say this over and over again. It's going to be a refrain, at least for this class. This class's refrain is, every class has a refrain. This class's refrain is, it ain't bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. It's not Cinderella. It's not the fairy godmother. It's work with the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want you to say, I'll give you my spirit. Don't do anything. I'll take care of this. God says, I'll give you my spirit to empower you to do what I tell you to do, to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. But you got to do it. So if you want to be transformed, if you want the peace of God, if you want the joy of God, you've got to cooperate with God. You got to get moving. Even if it hurts, think a little bit and be transformed. Your mind must be an incredibly important piece of real estate. Do you know that? It must be an incredibly important piece of real estate. Because look at, Satan keeps attacking it, and God tells you, defend it, guard it, commanding officer, sir, ma'am, guard your mind. Okay? How do you renew? How do you change your mind? I'm giving you an example here, obviously. I'm not going, through the Bible in 16 minutes. How do you renew? How do you change your mind? So easy. It's so easy. For example, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, God tells us through Paul to the letter to the Philippians. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. All right, let me ask you a question. This is rhetorical. Maybe I've asked it before. You know me. I'll ask it again. I know you. How many times do you suppose you've read that verse? Do you think you've read that verse 10 times in your life? Do you think more than 10 times? Do you think more than 50? Maybe even 100. How many times do you think you've heard that verse? At least 25? All right, now how many times have you set out to do it? Not happened to do it, but set out to do it. You see, people treat this like, some kind of flowery verse. Like, isn't that nice verse? Isn't that pretty verse? Isn't that cute verse? Isn't that sweet verse? La-da-da-da-da-da-da verse. This is life and death. Meditate, you all know what meditate is. You know, the classic chew the cud. You go, like a cow. You keep chewing, chewing. Down it goes, up it comes. That's meditate, chew the cud, over and over and over again. Meditate doesn't mean you happen to have a nice thought go on by. Whoop, was that a nice thought? Whoop, try to remember that one. It means to think about, to ponder, over and over, to dwell on, to try to figure out, what does this mean? What does this mean? Now, God says that we are to meditate on these things. How often, and this is very important, I really mean this. How often, commanding officer, have you opened your orders, read them, and just rolled them back up again and said, nice orders? When God says, read the orders and do them. And so, I'm telling you, I never feel like doing this. I feel like eating peanut butter sandwiches. I never feel like doing this. I feel like taking a nap. I never feel like doing this. I feel like playing hockey. I never feel like doing this. This is life and death. And I go and I do it. And I go and I try to think about things that are true, like and honorable, pure, wonderful. I think of God. I think of heaven. I meditate on it. I meditate on it. For example, Colossians 1:22. New, it happens to be in my mind. Colossians 1:22. Do you know when I die, I know what's going to happen? Other than I'm going to heaven, do you know that? I've got to, and you could too, I'm going to tell it to you right now. I know, generally speaking, word for word, how I'm going to meet God the Father. It's in Colossians 1:22. It says in Colossians 1:22 that Jesus is going to present me to God the Father as holy, blameless, and irreproachable. Now, that's how you do. Think about it. Jeez, I'm going to come and I'm going to appear there somehow. And I'm going to meet Jesus and we're going to have something. And then I'm going to get to meet his Father. And Jesus is going to say, Father. Now, which way is the proper way? You introduce the lower God. Ed, I'd like to introduce you to my father. Father, may I present you Ed? He is holy. He's blameless. He's irreproachable. No one can accuse him of anything. He's in me. And God the Father is going to look at me with the same eyes and love that he has for his son. Because I'm in him. I meditate on that stuff. And so what meditate on that stuff, it kind of changes the way you think. Changes the way you feel. Feelings follow. And so I don't live a legalistic life. I live a yo life. You want me to do something? May I please do it? Let me beat Eric. Let me beat everybody. Let me do it. You got a commandment? Love to do it. Because his commandments are not burdensome. But if you don't think about, search, ponder, you don't get the joy. You're just, I hope you get the picture. But we don't think about those things. We think about the 18 murders that are on the news, and we think about this, and we think about that, and we just fill our minds with stuff that Satan wants us to be filled with. And we think and dwell on those things. To the absence of the things we're commanded to do, what kind of commanding officers are we? And then there's this nice little verse, set of verses. This is good. Stop. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, if then you were raised with Christ, I was, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Ah, nice little verse. Nice set of verses. Ever read them? What does it mean to set? What does the word set mean? This is non-rhetorical. Set. S-E-T. In the South, it means, you know, sit, but other than that. What? Focus. You're on the right track. Would you say it loudly?
Place.
To place. Yeah. Anybody more? To solidify. This is very interesting. Yes. Ron? Manually change. All right, put them all together. One more. Fix. All those are correct. Set means to adjust for proper functioning. Set means to put, and this is a classic, to put in a position that will restore a proper or normal state. That's from Webster's, folks. To adjust for proper functioning, or to put into a position that will restore a proper or normal state. So everybody knows how to set their radio to the station they want. Or being the lazy kind of guy I am, I know how to set my coffee maker so it the next morning I'm smelling it when I'm walking down the hall instead of trying to dump it in. It's all working for me, thank you. We all know how to set things to adjust for proper functioning. Or when the electricity goes off and your I can do this, clock goes, you know, just kind of, you know, waves at you and says 12 o'clock forever or whatever your clock does. All right, you know how to press a button, then press the nut button, no, and now you're set. All right? Can you imagine, you know how important it is to set things right? Imagine, you know, we're in the space age here. Imagine that, you know, you've been chosen as the astronautess or astronaut or astro, yes, I'm sorry, this is stupid, astronaut to go to the first, to go to Venus. Venus, I don't know. Can you go to Venus? Who knows? Wherever we think we can land and go around. All right? We're going up to Jupiter. We've now changed our course, our flight plan to Jupiter. Now, when you're down here on Earth, you're sure depending. You're going to go in that spaceship. It's kind of important that we get these, 30 degrees to the right, 20 degrees to the left, all that kind of stuff. I don't know what I'm talking about. But it's important that we set these things right. Now, if you're set wrong, like that much, I don't know, that much, and you could set these people, you've set one instrument, one calculation, that much, it's wrong. But nobody knows it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 2, 1, blast off. Well, there you go, Chip. Yeah, it's going through the atmosphere. Look at that. It's going through the atmosphere. Cape Canaveral. Oh, that's a perfect. That's a perfect tail. A perfect flight, isn't it? This is historic. This is wonderful, Chip. This is great. Well, we'll see them in 3 months. We should get something back from, where am I going? Jupiter. Yes, Jupiter, Chip. Wrong.
Because when you have something just misset a little bit, when it just started going off, it looked fine. But the farther you go, the more off course you are. And the longer it takes, I mean, you're not going to get within a quadrillion light years of Jupiter. You're not even going to see Jupiter. It's not even going to fly by. You're going to miss it. You're going to be somewhere else. It's the same thing spiritually. No pun intended. I'm just making this up as I go along. No pun intended, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. What does God want you to do? Commanding officer. He's insisting your battle plan is to set your mind correctly. And to set your mind correctly means you don't think, you don't ponder the sins against you. You don't dwell on the sins against you. You don't dwell on all kinds of things. I have a right, you know, we talk about forgiveness and giving up your right for revenge or bad feelings. You don't think about those things. You don't ponder those things. You don't chew the cud on those things. We do just the opposite. We don't think about the good things. We think about the bad things. She said, what about me?
Look at him. What's he doing in church?
Huh. I mean, there's some, but we think about and dwell on the wrong things, and we're going to miss the mark. We're not going to be in the heavenlies. We're not going to have a transformation. We're going to be conformed to the world. We're not going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you think like the world teaches you to think, or how you have thought coming into this class, coming into this school, it takes work, folks. It's not going to come automatically. You're the commanding officer. He opens it. You open it up. She opens it up. What do your orders say? Your orders say life and death. For you and for generations to come, what kind of kids will you have? Are they going to be passionate for God? Are they going to see their mom and dad out there in the woods meditating, or out there in the woods crying? Who are you going to wind up being? How are your kids going to be like? What are your grandkids going to be like? Do you know it's all connected? What you're hearing now, what you do about what you're hearing now, is going to just affect the world and your blood for generations to come. What I'm sharing with you now is life and death stuff, and I'm sharing it with anywhere from 60-year-olds, I suppose, to 17-year-olds. And I just have to trust the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life, to focus, and to say, this is important. And I'm going to do what God says to do. If I don't understand it, at least I'm going to do it. And so, I ask this question for you to leave. Don't, no, I shouldn't say the word leave. I have 2 minutes. I say the word leave. You know what happened. How's the commanding officer of your life doing? How is he or she doing when it comes to simply obeying the orders? How's the protector of your mind doing? You get the commanding officer in one sense. You're the soldier set out by yourself to guard your mind. Are you sleeping on the job? Are you guarding your mind? Are you protecting your mind? The very entryway. How you doing? How you doing with your mind? Are you guarding it? Are you protecting it? Are you renewing it? Are you filling it? Are you setting it? Are you changing it? Or are you dying it? It's up to you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for the orders that you have given us, the battle plan that will give us victory. It's incredible. Lord, just right delivered, right into our hands. the battle plan that will give us victory, guaranteed by God. Lord God, please, please, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on us. Forgive us for all of our past transgressions in regards to being the worst commanding officer we could imagine. And Lord God, thank you for even telling us in the battle plan that the highest general of all, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will forgive and pick us up right where we are. Lord, we know that it is your desire that we change our lives. And we know, Lord, now through the battle plan that the way we change our lives is to change our mind. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we give it to you. We give them to you. We present them to you as living and holy sacrifices. May they be acceptable to you because we present them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.